Basically, we're no closer to knowing the answer.
Yeah, all you did was confuse me more.
Yeah, it's just a terrible idea.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. Hot on the heels of Bayern Munich wrapping up their ninth consecutive Bundesliga title, Robert Lewandowski equaled Gerd Müller's 40-goal record last weekend and will be looking to make it his own on Saturday. While nobody's questioning Lewandowski's greatness, Bayern's ninth title does have many questioning the difficulty of the Bundesliga, a topic that we as Bayern fans have to be willing to discuss ourselves. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about that with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Good day, good day.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Well, guys, it has been a little while since we recorded our last episode, the 100th episode of the Super Bayern Podcast. But since that episode, Bayern have wrapped up their ninth consecutive Bundesliga title. They won it thanks to a loss from Leipzig, actually, to Borussia Dortmund. But a title is a title nonetheless. However, a discussion has to be had now about, I guess, kind of the state of the Bundesliga or what this really means to Bayern Munich, because nine in a row is a lot of titles, and it has a lot of people, especially from the outside looking in, just questioning kind of the integrity of the league, questioning what that title really is even worth after you've won nine in a row. And so it's a bit of a difficult conversation, but one that we definitely need to have as Bayern Munich fans. And so Sebastian, I'll start with you. This is Bayern's ninth title in a row. It's kind of hard to approach the topic, but really, you know, how happy can we really be about, I guess, the success of this season as fans? Because we did win the Bundesliga title, but fell short in other areas. So as Bayern fans, can we be happy about, you know, the ninth title in a row?
Well, I guess there are different layers to this discussion. The first thing is we only won the Bundesliga, of course, so that's not necessarily great after a season like last one. So we also have to keep this in mind, I believe. We need to put this into context a bit, because it's not like it's just a bit underwhelming because it is the ninth time. It is a bit underwhelming because last year was a much better year than this one was. I think I want to get this out of the way first. The next thing is, how am I actually feeling about it? And I need to be honest here and say, it's not like it gets me particularly excited that we won the league again. It puts you as a fan in a weird position, I would say, because you kind of want someone else to win at some point, but you also kind of want to win. So it is a bit of a difficult situation when you get to that point, when you think, okay, we won it so often, now how about someone else win it so we can enjoy it a bit more the next time? This is just a weird situation to be in for a fan. And I think if there weren't the Champions League, this would really get boring a bit, I would say. This is actually a thing. It's actually a problem, I would say. But then, of course, when we are at that point that we say, we can't get properly excited about winning the league as we should, you really have to ask, why is it like this? Whose fault is it? And obviously, you cannot blame the club for doing a good job, but you kind of have to wonder, Is there something unfair about it? Should there be more rules that make it harder for one team to win it nine times? And this is, of course, the more difficult question. I guess my answer to that would probably be kind of no, or maybe not much. But yeah, where do we go from here? Because even if we don't blame Bayern, and even if we think it is fair, and there's not a real big structural issue here at work that makes it impossible for others to win the league, that doesn't mean it's not a problem, right? because you want the Bundesliga to be exciting. You want the Bundesliga to be strong. You want other clubs from the Bundesliga to do well internationally. Yeah, and I'm not... We saw a bit of that, at least, recently. But yeah, this could just be a major issue. And yeah, we really need to think about that, I guess. And yeah, I don't think there's necessarily something the club can do. Maybe there can be some tweaks. It's really tough, I would say.
Yeah, you used an interesting phrase that I think kind of most people, I know I had to feel this way. You get to the end of the season and you look back and the way you put it, you know, we only won the Bundesliga. We only won the domestic league in Germany. And that feels weird to say because myself, just like all of us on here, I'm a massive fan of the Bundesliga. There's no league I would rather watch. I think it's definitely just as far as the football that you see on the pitch, the games you watch, you know, week in, week out, is definitely one of the most entertaining, if not the most entertaining leagues in all of Europe. It's a great league. There's so much that makes it a great league. The fans, the culture, everything behind it. But yeah, there's some issues going on right now. And even if it's not, you know, we can't blame Bayern for being successful. We don't want them to not be good, but there does come a point where you're like, okay, hopefully someone else will win it this year. Let's get some competitive back in here. Let's bring Bayern some competition and get things, you know, fixed a little bit. So I'm definitely with you there. Tim, what about you? How are you feeling? You've been a Bayern fan for a very, very long time. It's, you know, very much a part of who you are. How are you feeling now after 9 consecutive titles for Bayern Munich?
I completely understand where that feeling comes from. Part of it is for me, like, I've realized this is something I've kind of mentioned in the chat. There is, and also elsewhere as well, there's this strange feeling that I have as a Bayern fan of, I guess, like, sometimes feeling a little bit disillusioned or disenfranchised, maybe. I didn't realize saying the word franchise is, like, somewhat forbidden in any football discussion at the moment. But there seems to be this weird impetus to support the club a certain way. And that maybe that's like, I realize that there is a large part of it that comes from me being on social media, like going on Reddit, like reading comments on threads and on Twitter and all these things that does have an impact on how I interpret matches, how I interpret certain players. And also, like, how I interpret, you know, championship wins. I think at the end of this season, so this is the first season for me that I've not gone to a game in 21 years, I believe. So my first ever game was in April of 2000, and it was against Ulm. Don't know what they're doing now. They won 4-0, and I went with my dad, and it was fantastic. And I absolutely loved the club and, like, was just very quickly immersed in it and I adored it. And so every season since then, I've managed to go to a number of games, always at least one, certainly more. Like, it's a privilege of having a season ticket and having the means of making that happen. So this year has been difficult because it's been it's been difficult because I can't have that bi-weekly holiday to Germany is such a ludicrous position to be in, and I'm very aware of it. But it is the first season where I haven't been in the stadium at all. I've not been in the country. I've been at home and watching it, like watching the games on the TV, and having, you know, instead of having like 70,000 fans or however many it is around you, having a Twitter feed and people, like, not shouting abuse at a player, but actually writing it down and seeing the words, like when Alaba misplaces a pass or like when Douglas Costa doesn't do something, which, you know, happened frequently enough. Seeing that side of things, like seeing like the negativity, and that's the only thing that you have to go on because you don't have the fans in the stadium. You don't have that distraction. It's been a strange one, and I don't know. I think, like, I come to the end of this season and And I look back and I think, was this season a success? I mean, yeah, because we won something, but considering the bar that was set last season, no, it wasn't. And I know that there are so many fans of other clubs that would just wish of having a season where they win one trophy, like just at least one. And even like Bayern didn't even win one. They didn't win one trophy. They won several. A couple of them were because of what happened last season, but whatever. It's just the details. I don't know. I think this is, I'm all for winning trophies. Like, I want every trophy in the world. I feel disappointed because I'm very disappointed in how the game and how a lot of the games have been played. And I feel that if things were slightly different and with a different mentality, I'll say it, a different manager at times, things could be potentially different. And we could have had a slightly more solid defence against PSG and we wouldn't have conceded those goals. Or we would have had a better plan of attack against Holstein Kiel and we would have gone further in the cup. The issue that that I come back to is this feeling of, at times, feeling a bit dejected or almost excluded, is that my issues with the manager have kind of at times been like shut down and said like, no, we're not allowed to talk badly about this guy. And so I see that we win the league and I'm like, great. I didn't like how it happened though. So I don't know. There's that. That's like, that's probably the entire podcast. That's all we've got time for. I rambled for a while. But it's something I've thought about quite a lot over the past year. And you know, ultimately, it's just football. Like, it's very trivial and doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day. There are far more important things to be concerned about. But this is, at times, the thing that we all have. And it's something that should bring everybody together. But there are so many things that just really tear apart fan bases. And it's a shame because you should always want to celebrate trophies and title wins and everything. Every victory should be worthy of celebration. And this one, for me personally, it just feels muted at times.
I guess kind of the thing for me is this Bundesliga season, just like really several of the past few Bundesliga seasons, Bayern Munich have won, and not so much because, you know, we were excellent or we were a perfect team, but more so just because other teams fell short. I mean, Borussia Dortmund, for example, have two of the best young players in the world, more than two of the best young players in the world. They've got a good lineup top to bottom, and you're telling me right now that the most points that they can put up in a season is 61, that they're going to lose 10 games throughout the season, and that's supposed to be Bayern Munich's fault that they're falling short and that we're winning another title. So I guess it's, you know, Bayern have done well. Obviously, I would say we deserve to win the league, but other teams could have definitely done more to step up and, I guess, take the title from us. And that's what I want to see, right? I don't want to see, and Sebastian brought this question up earlier, we don't want to see Bayern become weaker. We want the other teams to become stronger. I think Schalke is one of the perfect examples of this, and we've referenced it on the podcast before. I think it was the 2017-18 season. Schalke ended in second place. If you look at like the top 20 richest, wealthiest clubs in the world, Schalke are in the top 20, and yet they're about to be relegated from the Bundesliga. And somehow that's supposed to be Bayern Munich's fault. Like, it doesn't make sense for Bayern Munich to feel guilty for their success, for us as fans to feel guilty for supporting a successful team, when a lot of the success that Bayern have had is, and it's because the other teams don't know how to manage a club the same way they do. And so with that in mind, Garrett, first of all, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the, you know, conversation in general about how you're feeling after a 9th consecutive title. But building off that, you know, what can even be done? Like, what can change going into next season, going into the future? I guess to make it more competitive, right? To give other teams the best possible shot to win the Bundesliga.
Well, first of all, if you guys hear the ambient noise of someone, my neighbor mowing, then I apologize. But
secondly,
I think the way that I'm feeling is just, I think I echo a lot of the thoughts that you guys have. I don't think I'm as like apathetic or disappointed in how Bayern won this year, or that they only won the Bundesliga, because I do think, like you said, after winning all the trophies, it's just naturally going to be a little bit of a letdown to win just the league. And like you said, Ben, I think that the issue is really falls at the feet of the other clubs. From my understanding, I mean, maybe there's some sort of inner workings of how the Bundesliga works that, you know, sets Bayern up to be more successful than other clubs. I don't know. But you do look at Dortmund and you think, how are you not at least pushing Bayern? And in Leipzig, seem to always play Bayern really well. And then they go and they lose to, you know, the lower half table clubs. And so they kind of shot themselves in the foot in regards to making a title run. Frankfurt is always a club that, or has recently been a club that kind of pushes towards, you know, that top four, and Wolfsburg played really well this year. But again, I think part of the problem is it seems like there's too many sellers in the Bundesliga and not enough builders. And it seems like Dortmund, for example, has now some of the top young players in the world. And if they keep those guys and commit to a coach that they believe can really build something, then they can kind of find those heights that they found under Jurgen Klopp, because they trusted his vision and they said, let's go for it. And we'll only sell when we absolutely have to, sort of thing. Now, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Leipzig. I think they're going to continuously be one of those top five, you know, clubs that's always hovering around, but I don't know if they'll ever get to the real contention. It's really hard to say, like, how does this all get fixed? I mean, you see, like, fortunately you do have the Pokal, where it's, you know, single elimination and that's fun. And yet people don't watch that either a whole lot, at least over here in the States. But there's another opportunity. It's where kind of, to me, is like, if you want to see these other clubs do well and Bayern not, you know, the Pokal is a really good chance. People don't want to watch that either. I think everybody kind of has where they're kind of at, you know, and they kind of, what the Bundesliga has to do is more about getting casual fans to become big fans, rather than, you know, trying to just draw anybody and everybody in. And so I think that's kind of my rambly way of just saying that these clubs like Wolfsburg and Frankfurt and Dortmund, especially Leipzig, they're going to do their thing. These other clubs need to commit to actually building something and really fighting to keep players. Because on one hand, it's like, what do you do when they want to leave? When a player wants to leave for a bigger club, what do you do? But like, how do you make sure that players want to stay and be a part of this project? I think Dortmund's got a good coach coming in Marco Rosa, but, you know, after he just left Gladbach, you know, at least announced that he was leaving real early in the season. How do you build something on that, where it's like, well, is some other team going to come swoop in and say, hey, here's a better opportunity for you, and he moves on? You know, I just feel like there's a lot of clubs that are just kind of treading water and they're pretty happy with it. And I think like you said with Schalke, that's one of those clubs where it makes absolutely no sense with the size of that club why they are struggling, and let alone being relegated. So
maybe it's kind of arrogant or whatever as a Bayern fan to be telling the other Bundesliga clubs to, hey, do your job.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, what do you want Bayern to do? Be worse? So the football's worse, and so they don't do well in Champions League. So people aren't, because even at least now people are talking about the Bundesliga.
Right.
People don't talk about, you know, the Portuguese league, because there's nobody that's even doing well. You know, every once in a while Porto will kind of appear, but like the Bundesliga is being talked about because Bayern is keeping them talked about, and the other clubs need to step up. And like I said, there's other stuff that probably is involved that I'm not aware of, but from where I'm sitting, these other clubs need to build something with the assets that they already have.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, if the question is what can be done to fix it, anything has to start with the foundation of it's not make Bayern worse, it's make the other teams better. And so I guess with that in mind, Sebastian, do you see this happening anytime soon? Do you see any of those other clubs stepping up and actually challenging Bayern? Let's say maybe even next season, you know, Bayern are going through a bit of a transition phase themselves. Obviously, we have some fantastic players and we've got a great manager coming in, but teams like Dortmund, who are probably going to lose Jadon Sancho, but looks like they're going to keep Erling Haaland. And so even if they lose Sancho, they'll bring in some reinforcements. Clubs like them, maybe Leverkusen. I hesitate to say RB Leipzig. They just lost one of their best players and their manager. But do you think there's any chance a team actually steps up and makes a significant run at the Bundesliga title next season?
I guess this is actually two questions. Because I think, yeah, it's definitely possible that one of those other clubs actually steps up. But I think what is way more likely, at least in the short term, is that something is going to go wrong at Bayern, and they are some of those other teams are going to win the league. Because I think we need to keep in mind, and I don't want to hurt Tim's feelings here, that we had some coaches, or some managers, if you will, over the last couple of years that made it seem like we would not win the league at some point. But we somehow managed to win it anyway. Talking about Kovac and Ancelotti here. I think there was a huge amount of luck involved that we still won the titles then. And there was a lot of, Jupp Heynckes involved, of course. And we were very lucky that we had, three absolute elite coaches that did an incredible job there. I'm counting, Pep in here, although I don't feel like he's not really as good as Heynckes. I don't rank him as high as I would rank Heynckes, and probably not as high as I would rank Flick, because for me Guardiola is a manager who's he's probably the best in the world at winning the league, but that's about it. So he made sure that we win the league. To make it short, I would say there is going to be a season very soon, I think, where things are not going to work out perfectly for Bayern, where we will be out of luck when we happen to have a coach who's not going to be as good as we would like him to be, and then there's not a Jupp Heynckes or a Hansi Flick who's just going to step in and save the day. This is just going to happen eventually. I think this is pretty clear. We might be in luck that Nagelsmann is not that guy who's going to mess it up. But yeah, that this is going to happen. So I don't think there's any doubt about that. But that being said, I also think that there is a possibility that some of the other clubs take that next step and establish themselves more as a team that's going to go far in the Champions League repeatedly, because I think that's the key. I think Dortmund and Leipzig are in perfect positions to consolidate what they have achieved already. And I don't think selling a player like Sancho is going to break that for BVB or anything like that. I think the problem is that, yeah, Bayern just has been better at the business side of things and has been better at the football side of things. There has been so much continuity at Bayern, and what we have been doing has just worked out all the time. Because obviously, with people who are really good at their job, and who really take it seriously anyway after like decades. This is just hard to catch up to for those other clubs, because what other club is there where you have this kind of continuity? I think that is very rare. So you just gotta hope that the success stories at Dortmund and at Leipzig are going to continue, and that there are going to be more, of course. And I guess I have to say it is a bit maybe annoying that Dortmund hasn't done better recently, because you actually would think they would do better with the kind of players they had. But yeah, they didn't have the coaches maybe necessarily. So I guess that's definitely a big thing, that we really had those great, great coaches that other teams just didn't have. And this is just a problem, right? Because there are just a lot of players on the market. You can always find that next player who's going to be great for you. But yeah, with managers, it's just not as easy, I think. And I think Dortmund just shows us this, in a very clear and, just in a very clear way. You can look at them and you just see, yeah, coaches are often the problem, I think.
Yeah, like you said, it's got to take Dortmund getting a good coach and combining that with, or any other club, and combining that with talented players. And I think what really a lot of them lack is just that consistency. I mean, even this season, Dortmund went through periods of playing very well. Leipzig went through periods of playing very well. Even teams like Leverkusen and Gladbach went through those same periods. It's just being able to do it over the course of a season to put up an actual challenge that those teams lack. Sorry. But let's move on for the sake of time. Let's go ahead and talk about Robert Lewandowski equaling Gerd Müller's 40 goals in one season record. Now, I'm going to come to Tim first, because I know that we will have Garrett and Sebastian on sort of opposite sides of this topic. But I saw an interesting article, I think it was from Bavarian Football Works, that sort of posed this question: should Bayern Munich fans want to see Robert Lewandowski break the record, or should we be content with him sharing the record with Gerd Müller? And I thought that was a really interesting question to ask and discuss on here. So, Tim, you know, what are your thoughts heading into Saturday's game? Are you hoping to see Robert Lewandowski take the record for his own, or do you think it's at a fair point right now for the record to stay 40 goals shared across two players?
I don't think it's something that like I actively want. It's not something that I don't want. Is that right? I'm ambivalent. If he gets it, fantastic. If he doesn't, I won't lose any sleep. I think I can completely understand why there is this. I think I said this elsewhere, that like I can imagine that there is, you know, potentially the older generation of Bayern fans. So like the fans that have been following the club for, you know, like 20, 30, 40 years, that go back a very long way, that would probably be somewhat disappointed to see that record both matched and potentially broken. I can imagine that an element of that is probably like feeds into Sebastian's presumed disappointment in seeing it potentially be broken. I get it. This is something that's been such a strong part of not just Bayern's history, but Bundesliga and German football, and also like European football history for a very long time. And so to see it change, it is an element of, you lose a part of history that was such a significant aspect. So I understand why there might be some trepidation towards celebrating that sort of thing. I can understand why people potentially wouldn't necessarily care. I am like okay with it being matched. If he breaks it, then that's fine as well, because like he's already, like there's enough like personal records that Lewandowski's got, and there's enough titles that he has. I'm sure he doesn't necessarily need an extra one. But there was one thing that I saw, and it was when he scored the penalty the other week to take him to 40, is that he showed the shirt that he was wearing underneath, and it was a tribute to Gerd Müller. And I think that whether you're a fan of his or not, whether you wanted him to reach the record or if you want him to break it, I think you can really appreciate that he has done this. For a start, from a sporting perspective, such an incredible and impressive feat. I don't think anybody can really dispute that, whether you like him or hate him. This is objectively very impressive. But I think what you have to appreciate is that he's doing this with a respect for Gerd Müller and a respect for where this record has been and why it stood for so long. And, you know, if anybody in the Bundesliga was going to break it, it would have been Lewandowski, and it wouldn't have, it was never going to be Marco Reus or Mario Mandzukic, for example.
Definitely not Marco Reus.
Yeah, he would have. Well, no, because Lewandowski was injured for a while as well. So, but I think it required a special player, and this is a player that until quite recently I didn't necessarily like, but I can still admit that Lewandowski is definitely very good at what he does, and that is score goals, and as such, he's done it to a near record amount this season. But I'm just very glad that he isn't making this record look how great I am. I'm so good. I'm the best in the world. Yeah, we all know that. But it's kind of bringing forward this such a significant aspect of, as I said, of German football history. But I guess in this aspect, more important, of Bayern history, it's bringing that name back to presumably an audience that maybe only knows of Gerd Müller as the guy that scored a lot of goals. I'll say I've never watched a game of his. I've never watched a full game. I've heard stories that all he could do was just keep on scoring goals, and that was enough for him. But I think it's so important that he is doing this, but also paying his respect at the same time. Because I think Lewandowski of a couple of years ago, if he was to break it, I don't think he'd care. I think he'd be like, yeah, I'm great. 49 goals, 70 goals for me a season. Oh, fantastic. I think the fact that he's keeping an element of it still alive, I think that's really important and really nice to see.
So I'm going to come to Sebastian first, because I think I know your answer to this question, but will you be hoping to see Robert Lewandowski break the record on Saturday?
Well, yeah, obviously I hope he doesn't break the record. But I guess I would say he has gained a lot of respect from me recently. My opinion of Robert Lewandowski has definitely changed to an extent. I think he has grown as a person. I don't think there are as many reasons to not like him as there have been. He's probably never going to be my favorite player. But yeah, it's not I think as negatively about him as I used to. It definitely shows this growth, what he has done with this, with that shirt, and that he's been, just humble about it. That's definitely a thing I couldn't have expected him to do earlier. That would just have been surprising a handful of years ago. This would just have been completely, off character. So I think there has been a lot of change with him. And I guess I would say it is kind of poetic if he has his 40 goals and not one more. I guess if he does it again next year, I might be fine with it. So let him have the 40 now, let him try again next year. Then I might say, okay, now he deserves it. But I don't think he should have this record. Not right now. I think, he's just not as important a player as Gerd Müller was. I think he cannot quite compare to that, even if he is quite important to the club right now. I just don't think he can compare to that. Because I mentioned that, I think I already mentioned that two times, but I think Breitner said it, that none of them being people like Rummenigge and Breitner and Hoeneß and even Beckenbauer and so on, none of us would be here without Gerd. And I think he's right about that. The success of the club and the success of the German national team during that era is only possible with Gerd Müller. And I think that's nothing I can say to the same degree about Robert Lewandowski, even if he is probably the best actual number nine right now. So he's the best number nine of his time, while Gerd Müller is probably the best number nine ever, if you will. So, yeah, I would be happy if he stayed with 40. I think everyone is going to be happy then, and then we'll see what happens next year, I guess.
So I guess coming into the episode and the conversation, I kind of struggled to see where a lot of people come from with, I guess, not wanting him to break the record. And maybe it's just the American in me, or just the fact that I enjoy seeing records broken, because it's a sign that the game is progressing, that times are changing. And it's always cool to watch something like that happen. But when you put it that way, Sebastian, I can't kind of sympathize with where you're coming from, especially the idea of, you know, Bayern wouldn't be Bayern without Gerd Müller. And I think that whole idea is missed out on by a lot of people who, I guess, are a little bit newer fans to the club, even like myself, someone who may be a bit younger, don't quite see things the same way. All that being said, I do hope the guy scores at least one goal on Saturday. I've become a really big fan of Lewandowski over the past couple seasons as he's changed. And I think he's going to go down as one of, like you said, one of the greatest strikers in Bayern history, if he won't reach that the greatest level as Gerd Müller. But it would be cool to see him break the record. And so I definitely do hope it happens. I don't think Robert Lewandowski breaking the 40 goal scoring record is going to do anything to taint Gerd Müller's reputation. So I guess that's kind of ultimately my perspective on all of it. But Garrett, since Robert Lewandowski is, you know, kind of your guy, I assume you're in the same boat as me with this, or?
Yeah, I definitely am. I agree with you. It's kind of, for me, it's more like I just love being able to see greatness live, and that's kind of the thing that's kind of cool, is that I don't know. I think it's foolishness to think that he's gonna come near this record again next year, and maybe he does, and then that would be absolutely incredible. But I want to see it happen, because there's so much else that can happen between now and the next time anybody comes close. That being said, I do sympathize with the fact that, you know, since he's been chasing this record, we've heard Gerd Müller's name come up quite a bit, and that has been cool to kind of keep his name being talked about throughout the broadcasts and highlights, you know, talking about, you know, who Robert Lewandowski is chasing. And I think that has been really neat to kind of see the history of Bayern and the Bundesliga as well, just kind of keep cropping up. And so if he does break it, that's going to be kind of sad to see go away. Also the fact that, you know, it's kind of neat to have a German with the record for the most goals in a German league. That's kind of a thing that would be sad to see go. But I think, like you mentioned, Tim, like it's cool how much you can tell Lewandowski does get the weight of what record he's breaking, and realizing that it's not just a goals record in some ways. And so it's been neat to kind of see him grow, as Sebastian said. And I think, you know, I think he said a couple weeks ago, I think he said something about, you know, it's, you know, it'd be awesome to break it, and he wants to, but like ultimately it's about the success of the team and all that stuff like that, which is stuff that we've been kind of, I don't know, some of us maybe have kind of implied that that's his thinking, but it's nice to hear him verbalize it some more and all that sort of thing. But yeah, I want to see him break it, because I just want to see an amazing record like that broken live, because like I said, I've never watched Gerd Müller play, and so yeah, it'd be cool to see a record broken. Interestingly enough, this year one thing he can't do is be the top goal scorer for Bayern in every competition. It should be the first time since the 2015-2016 season that's been the case, because Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting has two goals in the Pokal, and so that's
that's top on the team. So,
so technically, Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting, in one way, is Bayern's top goal scorer for the season.
Exactly. There's a transitive.
That's what
property.
I'm hearing.
So, you know, how good is Robert Lewandowski really? You know, if Choupo-Moting.
Well, we got to take back. We got to go look back and scrub the. Scrub the previous episodes where we've kind of ragged on him. So,
yeah. So we are all proven wrong. But let's kind of wrap up the Lewandowski conversation, because we got one more little quick debate before we wrap up this conversation. And this is something we've talked about off air a little bit in the chat. But Bayern Munich in the past week dropped their away kit for next season. I believe they're going to be wearing it this Saturday. But it's an all black design with gold accents. And this sort of like quartered off design of white dots going down the front, with the Mia San Mia is not appearing on the back. It's been replaced with the Munich coat of arms in gold. But anyway, I'm a huge fan. I'm a sucker for all black. Gold accents make it even better. It's a very, I guess, bold kind of regal look. Some people think it's not very Bayern. I think it is very Bayern. It's kind of got the classy arrogance that Bayern bring to games. I think it's got that look. Anyway, I'm a huge fan, massive fan. At first, I was skeptical about the white dots. I'm all in now. I'll probably be purchasing one of these, but I know we're a little bit divided on this. So, Garrett, I'm going to go ahead and come back to you real quick. What are your thoughts on next season's away kits, and why are those your thoughts?
So when I saw these leaked, I hated them, a lot. And partially because, like you said, I love the all black kits with, you know, I love the gold on the black and all that. I think that's awesome. The problem is that I feel like when you have, if it were just black with the gold letters and all that, it would be almost perfect. And then you go and you splash on the dots, and that's like it's just this constant reminder of what could have been for me. Now, seeing them on players and seeing the official announcement, I don't hate them as much. I think that they look a lot nicer than I thought they would on the players, which is usually the case. But I think I know what they're trying to do with the dots. Like, it looks almost like if you were to have a black and white image of the Bayern logo and then zoom in real far, like you'd have like the Bavarian pattern thing going on there. I get what they're trying to do. I would have rather seen that come off as like, you know, make it to where one part is a little bit shinier than the other. You know what I mean? Like, there's more like a texture to the black. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to complain too much because, like I said, the dots don't pop out as much as I was worried that they were going to based on kind of the leaked photos. I just hope that they go real simple and clean on the home kits and don't try to do anything too crazy. Because I think there's a way to do simple, but also not too simple, that sort of thing. So, and I will say that it feels like to me they were trying to buy my love for the kits by like one of the first ones tweets that I saw from the official Bayern account was Leon Goretzka in the kit, and I'm thinking you're gonna throw up my favorite current Bayern player and try to get me roped in, but it doesn't quite work, but it does soften me on them. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Sebastian, Tim, any thoughts on the away kits for next season?
Yeah, I think the only thing I don't really particularly like about them is I would prefer if those were the Champions League kits, because I think we should be black in the Champions League, because we have been La Bestia Negra for a very long time in the Champions League, and I guess we should probably stick to that, because this is just has worked out well for us for such a long time. I think another thing that I also thought is I think they are, the difference between the authentic version and the normal version is widening. Like, there's, the difference is growing, kind of. This is kind of interesting. I don't know if you also felt like that, but if you put them side by side and, like, look at the color, for example, I think the difference is actually getting greater. And I don't know that I like that necessarily. I hadn't liked before how that difference, you can kind of see it more easily than you used to. And I hadn't, didn't like that in the first place. And I don't like if that gets, or kind of becomes more of a thing. So I'm not a huge fan of that, but otherwise I really like this design.
I haven't noticed that as well, probably because I haven't checked them out on the store. But yeah, that would be a little disappointing if they start to make the difference between, I guess, what they call the authentic, what they call the replicas, to become some big difference to where, you know, if you buy the replica version, it's sort of, you know, you can tell from a distance that it's not the replica version. That would be a little disappointing, but other than that, like I said, love the kits. On the Champions League thing, I assume we'll end up wearing these for most games that we don't wear red. What Bayern tends to do is make an away kit and make a Champions League kit, but then just kind of wear whatever they want anyway some of the times. At least that's what they've been doing in the past few seasons. But I do agree. I associate Bayern's Champions League kits with being black or being a darker color. And so I'm with you there. I hope that that's the case. But anyway, that is all the time that we have for this episode. If you've enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a few ways that you can do that. You can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com, or you can just follow us on Twitter at superbayernpod and get in touch with us there. Keep up to date with us as well. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.